Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At 3 a.m. and we're live until 5, and then Mully and Hall and Dusty will take over. Plenty of Bears conversation on a Bears winning Monday. And you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace.
There's only one station to talk Chicago sports. Sports Radio.
And at 7 o'clock, Ola Cruz with Mully and Hall. DJ Moore with Mully and Hall at 8. Brad Biggs with Mully and Haw at 9. Anthony Herron with Bernstein and Holmes at 11. Dan Weeder with Bernstein and Holmes at noon. Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, will join Speeds and Manley at 3. Mark Grody with Matt and Patrick at 4. Jalen Johnson with Matt and Patrick Manley at 5. It's going to be a fantastic Monday right here on 670 The Score. Let's hear from the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus.
You know, I thought in the first half the defense didn't play the run as well as we're used to, but I did think in the second half we made some good adjustments and did a nice job that way. I thought kickoff cover did a nice job. You know, really good job with setting the field. I know that's a new situation for everybody. I thought guys did a nice job of using technique, working really hard on that, and made some really good tackles. And you could see our hustle. Not only on the special teams, on both our cover teams, the punt team and the kickoff, the extra effort, you know, because there's times where the first guy would miss it, but you saw guys that were in pursuit being able to get there. And we're going to get some turnovers on those particular groups as well as we go forward. You know, in terms of the offense, you know, I told the guys this many weeks ago, we need to play well around Caleb, and we got to continue to do that, you know, so. We're going to look at everything there in terms of the operation. I thought the operation was good. I know we had one delay. But again, he's going to keep getting better every single week. And as he does that as a rookie quarterback, because I think he's the first guy to win since like 2002, 014 and 1, I believe. And that's because of the team around him played better in the second half. And we just need to keep doing that as he grows and develops, because he is a talent. He's smart as a whip and knows the offense, and we just got to keep playing well around him as he grows and reinvests and improves. And he's going to learn a lot these first three or four games in terms of the NFL looks, the NFL speed, and all the things that we have to do. So with that, open up to questions.
No huddle in the second half. What did you like about that? Was it a personnel thing or a Caleb thing in terms of?
It was, I think, when you know, sometimes when you struggle on offense, I think it's a pace thing. You know, you're just trying to get him going, and he likes that, and I think he's very natural doing that, you know, going fast and you know, doing the no huddle. And I think he operates best that way, and he's exhibited that in practice. Not to say we're always going to do that, but it's certainly a way to be able to spark the offense a little bit.
How much his struggle was related to maybe anxiety from his first NFL game?
I don't think there was any anxiety. He was calm, cool, and collected the whole time. Never got frustrated. I always talked to him about the response that you have of just hanging in there, because sometimes it can get rough on both sides. You know, it can get rough. You just got to hang in there, and you got to have that belief in the man next to you, belief in your teammates. It's not just about one guy, and that's what I saw at halftime, and they exhibited that in the second half.
Matt, there was a sack from a loss of 19 in the first half. Looked like it was possibly a screen. Can you tell us what was the miscommunication that happened there?
There was no miscommunication. I believe that their D lineman just busted through the block that we had for him and then created the pressure there. I know Caleb tried to get rid of it, you know, because we were in the kick line there. I think we just went for a fourth down before that, I believe. But, yeah, he's got to do a good job of getting rid of that if he can. But, again, I thought the D lineman made a nice play.
Davis and Bates rotated. Is that the plan going into the game, or did something happen?
No, that was the plan. That was the plan. Both guys were dealing with, you know, health issues during training camp. We wanted to make sure they could both finish the game, so we were going 2-2 there.
How would you describe how aggressive you were coming after Levis, especially in the second half?
Yeah, you know, so as you look at the game and you look at how people are doing things in terms of their protection, people they have in the game, so forth and so on, then you look at situations and you go to your card and look at, see what's the best thing to attack that. And we always do that, and that's just what you saw today.
Matt, going out of camp and knowing that Caleb's in his first ever game, is this kind of how you envisioned it going, maybe? You know what I mean? Just the defense, the way they played coming out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's when you start a rookie quarterback, which we were doing, you know, he's going to have ups and downs and good moments and other moments. You know, so like I said, we have to just play well around him, make sure the operation's clean, You know, make sure we don't turn the ball over, right? And, you know, and give people short fields and free plays. And it's okay to end the ball in the series with a kick. You know, so as long as we end it with a punt, we end it with an extra point or a field goal. And like I said, Cairo did an awesome job today of doing that and making his kicks. And the operation was good. We, you know, we have a new long snapper, short snapper. So I thought that was really good operation today for those guys.
Darrell Taylor is kind of an under-the-radar guy. How big was his strip sack? And what do you see from him since he joined the team?
Energy. You know, he is straight energy. He brings it every single day. I love his passion. And, you know, he fits in right with our guys. And it was great. He's been great in the building. What a great pro. You know, taking advantage of everybody that we utilize in the building because we have a great staff in terms of performance, strength staff, everybody we have in the building. So he's been doing great, and he fit right in. And I had a short meeting with him, told us about us, you know, and how we operate, and he loved it. So it's good. It's good that he's here.
The way you guys won today with Caleb struggling, is the idea that that formula could carry you for a little while until Caleb – until things click for him and he's able to be a difference maker?
Well, I know in the NFL that every week's different. You know, there'll be times where, you know, in it, the games ebb and flow. They really do. And you just got to be good as a team. You know, it's never about just one side or one person. It's about us being able to figure it out during the game and figure out our winning formula for that particular day. And that could change. You know, but then once you get a solidified, you know, quarterback that's a seasoned veteran, I think it becomes pretty clear how you operate and how you do things. We've seen all those guys in the past. Our guy's very talented. Again, this is his first game, and he's going to continue to get better.
Do you foresee more opportunities for Velus Jones, granted the mistake today?
Yeah, I was proud of Velus Jones. Really was. I know that that's not what he wanted, obviously. And I thought we responded well on defense. You know, we held them to the 3 points in that particular case. So that's what we call sudden change, and that's how we operate. But he did a nice job coming in and at the halfback position. You know, did a nice job of getting north, and I thought he did well there. And we'll evaluate in terms of kick return as we go.
From what you've gotten to know about Caleb in the last couple months, what about him do you think they wanted to recover from not a great first game and improve from week to week? You've talked about the biggest leap you make is probably with 1 week.
Yeah, just his character and the man that he is. He has belief in himself. He's comfortable in his own skin. And then he's got teammates that believe in him and trust him and know him and that he can lean in on as we go through this week and get better. That's what we're going to do this week.
That is the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus. And again, the Bears battled back, down 17-0 at one stage in the first half. And the Bears simply got it done because the Titans, even though they played solid defense, they gave up 17 points off turnovers. And that's the bottom line, 24-17 Bears over Tennessee in game one of the 2024 season. Now, we talked about Eberflus meeting with reporters after the game. That was the clip. But before then, immediately following that win, inside the locker room, the head coach of the Bears talked to his players.
Hey, this was the biggest thing we learned from this experience, right? In my opinion, okay? Instead of in the halftime, what was different about this team, okay, compared to other teams I've been around, all right, was there was a lot of complaining and stuff like that in those old locker rooms. It wasn't like that. It was, we got this.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yeah, we know who we are, fellas.
And looking each other in the eye and saying that, we got this.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because it's not good enough to just be a really good defense, right? And okay on special teams, okay on offense, right? It's not okay to have a great offense and just be okay on defense. You got to have a great team, right? You got to have a great team. And there's going to be days where it's mixed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? So, hey, let's keep elevating, keep leveling up. We need to improve this week. Okay, we're going against a playoff team, right? Okay, down there at third place, right? So enjoy the hell out of this. It's hard to win in this league.
Right.
You enjoy it, right?
That's
and
right.
You tell your family how much you love them and support them, right? for their support, okay? And then when you flip it over, tomorrow at noon, 2-3 o'clock, guess what? We're flipping it over and moving on.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, KB, you got it. Let's go.
Hey, just like Coach said at halftime, fellas. Understand, man, we changing the culture around here.
Mm-hmm.
But the culture is not defined until we go through adversity and how we respond.
Mm-hmm.
Look how we respond in that second half.
Yeah.
It don't matter offense, defense, especially we are a team.
Yep.
A win is a win.
Yep.
And we're going to keep going all year.
Yep.
Offense, y'all going to win some games for us this year.
Yep.
It's going to be vice versa. That's how we be as a team.
Yep.
But like I said, that's the culture, fellas. We're going to keep this culture going, man.
Definitely.
It's all about team, man.
Hey,
team on three. 1, 2, 3.
Team.
All right. I love it. I love it how the head coach addressed his ball club. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Again, plenty of great guests coming up right here on 670 The Score. Mullion Haw will bring you everything you need to know about the Bears and the NFL and what's going on with the Cubs, who, by the way, play tonight at Dodger Stadium against LA in the first of a three-game set. Then it's on to Colorado. Cubs trail the Mets and Braves by 5 games for the final spot in the National League wild card situation. But at 7 o'clock in the morning, Olin Cruz with Mullion Haw, DJ Moore at 8 a.m. with Mullion Haw, at 9 o'clock, the great Brad Biggs with Mullion Haw, and then with Bernstein and Holmes, you've got Dan Weiderer along with Anthony Herron, and then you've got Kurt Warner with Spiegs and Manley. You got Mark Brody, who does a great job covering the Bears right here on 670 The Score, joining Matt and Patrick. And then at 5 o'clock, Jalen Johnson with Matt Spiegel and Patrick Manley. And don't forget, Tuesday at noon, T.J. Edwards with Bernstein and Holmes. And also coming up this week on Thursday, 670 The Score, Circa Sports Illinois. They're teaming up to celebrate the start of the football season, 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. on Thursday. And Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, and the afternoon show will be doing their shows live from the Lake Street Plaza at Prudential. Food trucks, games, more throughout the day. Thursday, 10 to 6, with The Score, Circa Sports, Illinois. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. What do you think of the Bears? Be honest. Give me a call. I want to hear from you about the growth of this ball club and what you feel the Bears need to do to go into Houston and beat them based on what you saw in the opener against Tennessee. You can also text us 312-644-6767. All right, Anthony Herron, and you know Anthony does such a great job covering the Bears right here on 670 The Score, and he had some post-game thoughts as he was presented with the Bears come-from-behind victory over Tennessee.
There's, of course, a voice that you are getting to know well that you will hear plenty more of in the years to come. It's Caleb Williams. After his first regular season win as Bears quarterback, Bears took down the Titans 24-17. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Post-Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm taking you up to Sunday Night Football coverage here on The Score tonight. The Rams take on the Lions on Sunday Night Football. Pre-game coverage coming up at 6:30 and kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. You can tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Chuck Swirsky will be live from 12 to 5 a.m. overnight. Looking forward to listening to Chuck overnight. Then Mullion Haw will have full reaction to the game starting at 5:30. That would be a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. So, Caleb, you heard his voice there sounding composed, sounding responsible. I think we're getting accustomed to that, recognizing that that's who he is and that's how he comports himself with the media. His numbers overall, 14 out of 29 for 93 yards, took a couple of sacks in the game, evaded some other sacks. Some of those would have been on the offensive line. Some of those certainly would have been on Caleb in holding the football, in looking to extend the play and try to make things happen. And the Bears offensive line was certainly one of the concerns that I talked about just sort of coming into the regular season. Now, the best five, and I guess, you know, kind of including the full group of guys I would presume the Bears saw as potential starters. We'll call them the best six that the Bears had the potential to put on the field here. I felt and still feel pretty good about the potential for that group. The depth has concerned me the entire time, but the combination of how Shane Waldron would operate, would call the Bears offense, how a rookie quarterback would be able to keep everything, you know, sort of in line for the Bears, to get the play call, to break the huddle, to keep things on time, to not get overwhelmed, you know, by what the opposing defense is throwing at them. All those things end up factoring in to how the performance of the offensive line ends up getting perceived. But just kind of left to right between Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, you know, what right now is the starting center in Coleman Shelton, Nate Davis at right guard, Darnell Wright at right tackle, and wherever Ryan Bates ends up fitting into all of that, I feel like that's a group with enough physical capabilities and certainly enough starts under their belts at this point where I look at that and say, you can take the field, you can win games, you can perform efficient and at times high-level offense with that group. And there's not going to be many teams in football that are going to put a handful of Pro Bowlers up front on their O-line. So much of it comes down to, at times, the quarterback getting guys out of jeopardy. A lot of it comes down to the play caller scheming things up in a way that gives them an opportunity for success. The way that they can stay on the field with each other, communicate with each other with continuity, and get just into a rhythm, into a flow, and that matters so much up front on the offensive line. So today's game with that Bears O-line, Braxton Jones got beat with power at times, you know, got sat back into the lap of the quarterback. Tevin Jenkins got beat with finesse and counter moves on the interior at times today. Coleman Shelton at times got run over today. He got beat both with power and also with what seemed to be at times miscommunication between Coleman Shelton and Nate Davis. Darnell Wright, you know, I thought for the most part seemed to hold up pretty well both in pass protection and against the run. But again, you know, it's kind of my first blush reaction just off watching and evaluating the game that took place in front of us out there at Soldier Field today. But the thing is, there's going to be clips. You can find clips of the best offensive linemen in the game, and they will eventually and occasionally, as they get impacted by a powerful defender, trip on a teammate's foot and get sat on their keister. Or there will sometimes be miscommunication between guys up front where they think, all right, we're running like that 19-yard loss. It looked like the Bears were in a form of jet protection where the entire offensive line is moving laterally in unison. And, you know, it's almost like a zone blocking scheme like you would in a run game where you kind of move laterally and everybody's moving in the same direction. And you're supposed to just kind of pick up any guy who's coming in your area without necessarily having a specified defender as your pass protection responsibility. It just, something about it looked out of whack. And I don't know exactly why or what happened, because the direction the O-line is moving in, it looked like they're expecting Caleb Williams. Usually when you're running that as a pass protection where you see the entire offensive line, you know, let's picture it in your mind's eye where you're behind the football, you're Caleb Williams, and you're looking out from behind the center. So the entire offensive line in unison all begin moving left. They're hoping to bring those defenders with them, both with the defense, who usually that front seven will move to some degree in unison with the O-line, because your initial indicator as a front seven defender is that the O-line is usually going to take you to the football. So your first reaction when the ball gets snapped, the O-line moves in one direction, you tend to move with the O-line because that's your gap responsibility. So when you run that sort of protection, like, you know, again, it looked like some form of jet or maybe scat protection. I think it was like a jet protection where they all move in one direction. So they're expecting that front seven of the defense to move with them. Tennessee actually had a little stunt on in that moment. So, you know, their big fella in the middle decided, you know what? I don't feel like moving with that O-line. I'm penetrating. So they gave up some very quick penetration into the backfield. Now, when the O-line is all moving to the offensive left, what you're normally expecting is that with that pass protection, the quarterback will either begin moving in the exact same direction in a rapid manner and sort of outflank the defense because that's where all the blockers are going, or what it looked to me like what was designed in that play was that the expectation was Caleb was going to roll out in the opposite direction, use some form of run action or misdirection, and it just looked to me like Caleb was supposed to operate in the opposite direction. I don't know why Caleb didn't. I could be completely wrong, but to me, the way the O-line moved, the way the routes were going, the way Caleb started to move himself, it looked to me like he was supposed to go in the opposite direction. But for some reason, he ended up just still being in the tackle box. You get some quick penetration in there. He's running this way, twisting that way. It ends up being a 19-yard sack that just looks all kinds of discombobulated. So that's just one moment that the initial penetration that happened took place between Coleman Shelton and Nate Davis. Now, between the two of them, there's an interior defensive lineman. I think it might have been Tavondre Sweat. It's either Sweat or Simmons. I'm honestly not even completely sure off the top of my head which one it was. But they got quick penetration from the interior of Tennessee's defensive line. Didn't get passed off between either guy. Shelton's stepping left. Davis is stepping left. Neither guy really got a good piece of the Titans' defensive lineman. And then Shelton kind of spins around, reverse pivots, and he's trying to do what he can to get a piece of him. That guy didn't end up sacking Caleb Williams. And then as Caleb continues to run around, then eventually he gets sacked for a 19-yard loss. What you're hoping for is that your quarterback will have a level of presence in the pocket to either climb the pocket vertically, do something to evade multiple defenders, but preferably to get out of the tackle box enough to throw the football away without a penalty flag. Or if he doesn't get out of the tackle box, to be able to throw it in the area of a teammate where it's just an incompletion as opposed to a 19-yard loss and a sack. 19-yard loss and a sack is going to kill the drive. There were a number of drive-killing moments that ended up happening. They weren't all as bad as that. Not a whole lot of 19-yard losses that you're going to take in the course of a game, but there were other times where you saw penalty flags on procedural issues from the Bears offense, at times drop passes that took place, and certainly at times you did see, like I was kind of referencing a few moments ago here, you did see where there were times where guys just got beat clean and quick. So this is one of those games where Caleb didn't play well in his first NFL start, but I'm not surprised that a rookie quarterback, even though he's the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, I'm not surprised that he at times looked out of sorts in the game today. And even when he mentally didn't look out of sorts, he wasn't completely in rhythm. There were handoff issues at the mesh point at times with Caleb. And even when a lot of what was going on, where the route comes open clean and the protection is sound and he knows mentally where to go with the football, but for some reason he sails it or throws it too far out in front or too far behind so a defender knocks it away and it's an incompletion, there were certainly a number of those types of things that you can point directly to Caleb and say, yeah, he could have been better. But I feel more angst about the way the offensive line performed because that's a group that's had more experience. They've spent more time working together. The collective starts for that group up front, even though it's not an old group. But at this point, Braxton Jones has played a lot of football. And he's played the majority of that football next to Tevin Jenkins, who's played a lot of football. Nate Davis has played a lot of football, the majority of it for the team that he faced today in the Tennessee Titans. And Darnell Wright started every game at right tackle for the Bears last season. So this is an experienced group in their season opener. And that, to me, I find more concerning. The Bears' offensive line and them not seeming to gel in the way that they didn't, that, to me, is a bigger flashpoint from the game today, from my evaluation of the game, than Caleb looking out of sorts. 312-644-6767. And yes, you may have noticed Ryan Bates ended up rotating into the game as well. You know, he had some nice moments out there. He got flat-backed, you know, at times too. And when he didn't get flat-backed, you might have noticed he's got the big, you know, RoboCop brace on his left arm, like maybe he hyperextended his elbow or something to that extent. And there were multiple times where he's given up penetration right through that left arm. Defenders know that. Defenders see that. Defenders are going to test that. That's part of why most football players, they don't want to get all braced up when they're going to take the field, especially if it's something that is truly still a weak point for them. And it looked to me on multiple snaps. Now, maybe he felt strong at first and then tweaked it or something like that. There were multiple times. You could tell Ryan Bates didn't want to use that left arm or just didn't feel the same sort of power and force with his left arm and gave up penetration in there. So there's a wide variety of issues there with the Bears, with the O-line, and just with the execution of the offense as a whole. And yes, even the veteran wideouts were imperfect, where Keenan Allen drops a touchdown pass down there as well, coming down the stretch of the first half. So there's a lot to improve upon from the way the performance from the Bears went today. And safe to assume that they will improve. We know Matt Eberflus is one of these guys who takes this very workmanlike approach and gets everybody all revved up and riled up. And after one game, to be able to teach from a position of strength, to be able to teach from a position of positivity, while at the same time being able to put that film on and say, guys, this isn't us. Defense, this isn't how we defend the run. O-line, we need you to be better in protection. Quarterback, when you see it, we need you to rip the ball in there. And there was a stretch in the game where Caleb was starting to do that. And that does bring me to something. I told you I'm not going to go all in on Shane Waldron here. I'm not going to put up a bunch of red flags on the Bears offensive play caller, but there is a concern that I do have. I'm going to take a timeout, come back. We'll get some more callers in here because I see a lot of you on the line. I see Danny, I see Ann, I see Aaron, I see Ryan. Phone lines are lit up at 312-644-6767. I'll get to some more calls. I'll also let you hear from Matt Eberflus and more from Caleb Williams as well. But I do want to tell you, just in my initial impression of Shane Waldron, I'm going to try to give Shane Waldron some grace in the face of something that I did find concerning from the game today.
Wow. And I'll tell you what, that's Anthony Herron. And you're going to hear from Anthony Herron today right here on 670 The Score. He's going to join Bernstein and Holmes at 11 o'clock in a moment. Some of the highlights and more interviews. But you know what? This is about you. This isn't about me. I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts talking about Bears football. I want your impression of the Bears. And I want you to break this game down in your opinion. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Wherever you're at right now, coming into work, leaving work, driving, maybe you're at home and you're just woke up, can't sleep, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 312-644-6767 on 670 The Score.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
And welcome back, 3:32. Chuck Swirsky with you on a gorgeous Monday morning. It's going to be hot this week. Temps in the 80s, and I'm loving it. But boy, it was such great football, whether it's Soldier Field, the NFL opener, as the Bears battle back. Down 17-0, storm from behind and beat the Titans 24-17. We want to take your calls, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Give me your take on the Bears, good, bad, indifferent. They're getting ready for Houston coming up Sunday night, national TV, NBC. Houston favored right now by 6.5. But the Bears got it done against Tennessee. They were resilient. They stuck together. They did a fantastic job, you know, coming together, especially in the locker room at halftime. Everyone just said, hey, you know what? We can get this thing done. And they did. because of turnovers.
Stonehouse with pressure, a block. It's scooped up by the Bears. Back the other way. Jonathan Owens. Touchdown, Chicago. Mr. Biles getting in there. The block by Daniel Hardy, who just made the roster after a strong preseason. He had the block on Stonehouse.
You saw him overload on the right side and loop over to the left. Jonathan Owens becomes Johnny on the spot. The scoop and score. Well done by him.
The 100-meter sprint to the house. On third down and six. Here they come. Gordon's coming. Levis gets wrapped up. Flings it ahead. It's picked off. Tyreek Stevenson will give the Bears the lead on another defensive play. And it was the former Titan DeMarcus Walker who got to the quarterback, wrapped Levis up, and Stevenson housed it for the first Bears lead of the game.
Well, it's all that pressure that gave DeMarcus Walker a chance on the edge. And Levis just falls right into his lap right there. You cannot make a bad play worse.
Here's the game. They need to get to midfield. Levis off the back foot, floats it up for Boyd. It is picked off. Jalen Johnson seals the deal. And the defense wins the day for Chicago.
All right, so those are highlights courtesy of Fox Sports. I got to tell you something, because I do think we take this player for granted. Cairo Santos, would you agree with that? Tyler Farringole is our producer who puts these highlights together, and we appreciate all the hard work that Tyler does. But, I mean, Santos, it seems like every game he's kicking a 50-yarder. You know what I mean? It just has that mindset, and it's not the easiest place to kick at Soldier Field. I mean, you know, like, you could make, and he's being handsomely paid. I don't want to say he's not. But if he was at a dome, I mean, come on. But in Chicago, especially with the weather turning in another few weeks or so, I mean, all the guy does, he shows up and he gets it done.
Oh, 100%. And I think we talked about Santos a little bit earlier in the show, Chuck. And I mentioned about Robbie Gould, how we all loved Robbie Gould. He was so accurate, so efficient for years. And remember, they had a little bit of a kicking problem. I don't want to bring up 2018 Cody Parkey doinking kicks left, right, and center. That was a bad time. But 2020, when they got Cairo Santos, that problem went away. And it's been like that ever since, Chuck. There has been no controversy, no question marks. You are 100% correct. He has come in. He has done a fantastic job. If I'm not mistaken, he's been over 80-85% on his field goals each of the 4 years he's been here, which is, like you said, not an easy place to kick being at the Windy City and the conditions on the lakefront. So he's done a fantastic job.
So he had three field goals today, three made field goals at 24, 50, and 48. His 50-yard connection early in the fourth quarter to draw the game within one score, he registered his 14th career-made field goal of 50-plus yards. He moved in the third place all-time in Bears history of 50-plus yard-made field goals behind Robbie Gould and Kevin Butler. And, you know, very, very seldom do you have programming on a sports talk show play field goals, with the exception of a game-winning field goal. But because I'm such a fan of Santos, I'm going to play all three.
Cairo Santos, coming off another excellent season with Chicago, gets the Bears on the board. The quarterback next to me, I can feel some of the tension in your shoulders, Mark, seeing what's happening today. Now Santos from 50. One of the best kickers in the NFL in a matchup of two of the great kickers in the NFL, Santos and Folk. It is now a four-point game as Santos has made 12 of his last 14 from 50 yards. Allen was limping a little bit, though. That's a concern for Chicago. Santos to try to make it a one-point game. A little bit of hook, but it's in. And it's 17-16 with 9:50 to go.
All right, so we're giving Cairo Santos some flowers because he deserves it. and the Bears in the win column. All right, let's hear from some of the Bears postgame with DJ Moore.
Will you describe that win for us?
Comeback. Don't call it a comeback.
Oh, nice, nice.
To the defense, so they had a heck of a game.
LL Cool J game.
Yeah, it was. Don't call it a comeback, and shout out to them. We had a little bit of struggles, and they picked it up along with special teams. We're going to get going, though.
Some of the guys were saying, hey, some days the defense is going to do it, and then there's going to be another game where the offense rules the day. Is that kind of the way you look at it with the offense and defense?
Yeah, and then when we all play together, offense, defense, special teams, can be a scary thing when it all come together.
What were your thoughts on how Caleb played? Obviously, I'm sure not as well as he wanted to, but also rookie making his first start.
Yeah, like you said, rookie out there making his first start. I think he handled it well. That front seven was nothing to joke about, and he was out there doing the best he can, and the line did what they did, and everybody on offense was just trying to get something going, and we're going to get there, and when we do, we're going to compliment the defense.
What was Caleb like in the huddle and on the sidelines as you guys were trying to figure things out?
He was himself. He never got too high or too low about anything, so that was good.
When you obviously came back in this game, what happened though, and how are you feeling right now?
On what? Oh, when I got banged up? Landed on my side, and it was like a little ache. Great, because we got a W.
DJ, you had to pinpoint what was the main issue offensively today, why you guys couldn't just kind of find a rhythm?
Pinpoint? It really ain't. You can't pinpoint one group or one person. It's like we all got to be on the same page, and when we are, you can see we can move the ball, and when we aren't, just things get in the law, and you can't have that.
Do you have to factor in the fact that Caleb Williams is seeing defense with bad intentions for fourth straight quarters, which he has yet to see in his life? I mean, is that a factor?
It shouldn't be. You know, it's football, so every defense is going to have bad intentions against us as an offense, so that can't be the issue.
How'd you like running the ball? It looked like you were following your blocker real well. Like you came to a halt, it seemed like.
It was fun. I'm going to trust the tight ends. I think I put my hand on Cole, and it made the DB look a little silly, so that was fun.
All right, that is DJ Moore, post-game coverage right here on 670 The Score with our very own Mark Brody. And DJ will talk with Mully and Haw 8 o'clock right here on 670 The Score. And Jalen Johnson's going to be on at 5 o'clock with Matt Spiegel and Patrick Manley. And here's Jalen Johnson after the Bears win.
How about that defense in the second half? Bears defense.
We just responded. We knew that wasn't like us. We had a few big explosive plays, some runs that got away from us, some miscommunication. But overall, we just kept pushing, kept going. We know we're a dominant defense, and that's what we show.
What did the Bears' responsibility you guys felt? Obviously, your rookie quarterback
right.
Needs some time to learn. Right? What responsibility do you guys feel to kind of take over that game?
I mean, we feel that regardless, no matter who the quarterback is. We just put it on our shoulders, go out there, and just continue to perform. We know it's going to be like that sometimes. We got to step up for them, and hopefully it doesn't have to be the other way around, but we're anticipating at some point they're going to have to put us on our back as well and just continue to win, find ways to win games.
You almost had one in the first half.
Man.
What did it feel like? How satisfying was it to secure the win the last one?
It was good. I mean, just for me, I know I'm not going to get too many opportunities, so everyone I get got to be an interception. So, I mean, I was just glad God gave me another opportunity to get one back and just capitalize, close the game out. Now we can go home happy with smiles on our face.
Run pace for 17.
17 what?
Pick six. Run pace for
that. That'd be wicked. I'll take it, though.
Jalen, to have a scare like this, though, could have been a miserable locker room. You pull it out.
Why you say a scare?
Well, that you got to, you know, that they jumped out in front of you guys. You pulled it out. I mean, how much can you learn from a game like this? You come out with a win and, you know, the mistakes, figure that out. I mean, how much learning do you get from this?
I mean, it's a lot. But, I mean, at the end of the day, anybody can win any given Sunday. So, I mean, it's not – I don't think it's a scare. I mean, they're a good team, too. They went out, got some guys. They revamped, did some good things in the offseason as well. So, I mean, to me, it was never just going to be coming here and be easy win. It's not like we were just supposed to blow them out or nothing like that. But – we're just going to continue to play our game, continue to go through adversity, whatever it takes to win. That's what we're going to do.
All right, that's Jalen Johnson. And again, Jalen will join Matt Spiegel, Patrick Manley at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on 670 The Score. Tyreek Stevenson with some thoughts on the Bears' win.
Honestly, I was thinking back. You know, the goal was to go out there, hold them to a third and long, get off the field, get the ball back to Caleb. He pitched it up. He made a mistake, and we just capitalized off it. You know, I'm glad I gave this team the energy we needed to finish the game.
When the ball was in the air your way, what are you thinking?
Oh, yeah. Crib. Go to the crib. Celebrate.
Celebrate yourself. Celebrate with your teammates.
Tyreek, how do you explain, how do you describe a win like this where the offense doesn't score a touchdown, but you still find a way to get it done?
Shit, they are kickstand, we their kickstand. You know, it's going to be games like this. It's the NFL, you know, and anything happened at any moment. So the fact that they still like went out there with their head up and gave us the energy, we went out there and did our job.
And what did you say about this team despite the struggles, we're able to find a way to win?
Shit, this is one hell of a team. A team full of dogs, you know. At some point, it's going to be the offense helping us out, you know. So it is what it is. We still got the win. I'm happy for the guys, but it's back to the drawing board Tuesday.
It was a game of two halves. What happened at the halftime? You came out and looked a lot better than you did.
I think we had to sit back and realize who we are, stop playing for the hype, stop playing for everything else around us, and just realize that we put in work, and we put in work just for a moment like this, you know, situation football, situation with things, and we just came out there and dominated.
With the punt block, how did you feel momentum swing on that play?
Momentum definitely swung. We knew we was going to block it all week, just the way we prepped for it, just the way we knew it. You guys, most of the guys, we already knew what it was, and we just ain't know who was going to do it.
Why specifically did you think you knew you were going to get football?
Just based off film and based off the actions this punter and the line and everything had over the last few years. See, our coaches go 10, 15 years from now. You feel me? They go all the way back to find out what we need and just to show us to give us that edge that we need.
Levis got away with flipping the ball away earlier in the game. Mm-hmm. Did you kind of know that looking at him with film, you might throw it up like that?
I honestly didn't expect him. We was just our main thing was get him off the field, get a ball back to Kadem and let him do his thing. And, you know, if he's going to make dumb decisions like that, we're going to make him pay for it.
All right, that is Tyreek Stevenson, and again, with a huge play, with a 43-yard scamper going into the end zone on a pick-six thrown, and really a horrible, horrible throw by Levis. But nonetheless, the Bears will take it, and the Bears in the win column. And we're going to take your calls at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. It's a quarter to four, 3:45 in the morning. We'll also take your text because we want to hear from you about the framework of moving forward. What are some of the things you want to see out of the Bears offense? And I'll tell you one thing that I kept waiting and waiting for the tight end to be implemented or to get some target throws. Cole Kmet, who in my opinion is without any doubt one of the premier tight ends in the National Football League, he received only one target throw. He caught a pass for what, Tyler? 4 yards?
Yeah, 4 yards.
I mean, how can that happen?
He's been their go-to guy in the red zone each of the last few seasons. It did surprise me, but then again, when you see Caleb's stat line, 14 of 29 for only 93 yards.
Yes.
Not a lot. Only averaging 3.5 per quarter. That's not stellar, to say the least.
No, and you mentioned that stat line with Caleb. Let's see. He threw 29 passes, and let's see, the combination of Moore and Allen caught 9 of the 14. So that probably answers my own question, why Cole Kmet wasn't involved. But nonetheless, I'd like to see him get more looks and targets against Houston. And also, by the way, speaking of the Houston game, that's a Sunday night game. The line is 6.5. We'll take your calls at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. In the NFC North, only one team didn't pick up a dub, and that was Green Bay.
The team up north. NFL edition. We're not in college here. The Green Bay Packers.
You know who I was impressed with? I caught the Vikings-Giants game. Sam Darnold looked really good. And you know what? I know he's bounced around, but maybe now with Minnesota, and they've got a pretty good offensive scheme in Minnesota. I think their whole makeup, because their head coach, you know, is a former NFL quarterback. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe, just maybe, after stops with the Jets and Charlotte, and then you've got you know, last year.
Yeah, he backed up Brock Purdy last year in San Francisco.
Yes. So I'm thinking maybe this is a comfort zone for him.
You could be right, but I think, too, even though I had the thought coming in of the Vikings being the weakest team in the division, they're not a pushover by any means. Like, they have a lot of talent. They have, I think, the best receiver in football. And the Bears and Vikings always play really, really tough. Like, look at those two games last year. Came down to the wire, and then that one when Justin Fields came back in Monday Night Football. Talk about coming down to the wire. 4 field goals for the win. they're going to be tough matchups no matter what, because to your point, Chuck, it's NFC North Division football.
Yeah, yes, and you know, the beauty of sports talk radio is that we get a chance to hear from the fans, the pulse of the city. This is a Bears town. I don't think there's any question. So yesterday, you know, I was walking around, you know, I grabbed my hot tea, the whole bit. And I personally, I'm wearing my Bears jersey, as you know, Caleb Williams, 18. And you would not believe how many fans are on the street corners or the city of Chicago wearing Bears jerseys, caps, you name it. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see a city pulled together for a team. And you will see winning teams do this, whether it was the Cubs back in 2016, you know, whether it was the White Sox when the White Sox were relevant and had a good run going, whether it was Bulls basketball, you know, with Jordan or the early Rose years and the Blackhawks when they won three Stanley Cups in a seven-year span. But, you know, the fans here have been waiting and waiting and waiting for the Bears. And having covered the 85 Bears, I think it's time. And Mike Singletary made a great statement this past week, about the 85 Bears. And I did the pre-half and post-game coverage during that Bears run. And I have to tell you something. I think it's great that a guy like Mike Singletary, a Hall of Famer Mike Singletary, Mike Singletary, who anchored that defense with a myriad of Hall of Famers, came out and said, you know what, it's time to turn the page on the 85 Bears. As much as we love the 85 Bears because the assortment of characters and character on that club will never be duplicated. I mean, they had too many players that had unique personalities, and they lost only one game to Miami in regular season play. They were as dominant of a team and the best defensive team I've ever seen in my life.
When are you going to ever see a team shut out their first two opponents in the playoffs? And my unfortunately, you know, I wasn't alive back then, but I hear stories all the time from my family. They have always said if Walter Payton never fumbled on the Bears' opening drive, that defense is playing for the shutout. Like that means something in the Super Bowl and obviously going the whole playoffs. So again, just to your point, just I've seen the highlights, ferocious, ferocious players.
Yes.
Feared unit.
Feared. Absolutely feared. So, but when Singletary came out last week and said, we need to turn the page, and the collection of players now with a developing culture with the Bears, they need to kind of not erase the 85 Bears because they have left an indelible mark on this city, but put the 85 Bears in a place where you can say it was great, it was terrific, but now it's 2024.
Kind of like turning the page.
Yes. And with a different, not only style of play, because the league has changed dramatically, especially on offense, because the running back is no longer a priority, where back in the 80s and 90s, running backs were at a premium. If you had a franchise running back, you're running him 30 times a game, right? Well, that's not the case anymore. Everyone wants to throw. But what Singletary is alluding to is that this group in 2024 and beyond, led by Caleb Williams and a really good defensive unit, led by Eberflus, who's calling the defensive plays, even though they have a quote-unquote defensive coordinator in Washington, Eberflus is getting it done. But I thought it was really healthy for Mike Singletary to make that call. Let's go to the phone lines at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And welcome. You're on 670 The Score. How you doing?
Hi, good morning. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
This is Jefferson down in Fairhope, Alabama.
Nice.
I'm calling you from the edge of Mobile Bay. I'm out walking my dogs, Wrigley and Butkus, and enjoying listening to you. I told your screener I had one thing. I've actually got two things I wanted to get your viewpoints on. The first thing I want to know, what, in your opinion, what was his strong point today? If you had to narrow it down to he did this great, what would you say that was? And the second thing I'd like you to speak to, I've been a Bears fan since the mid-70s, since I was a little kid. Have you ever seen a screen pass work for a Chicago Bears offense? that's my two.
It will happen. Trust me. On the first question, I'll tell you what I learned about Caleb Williams watching the game is that he's really poised and he plays with a great deal of composure. There would be a lot of rookies in their first NFL game, and I'm sure he may not admit this, but you have to as a human being. He had to have butterflies, and I'm sure he was really, really excited, but you just heard the comments from players that said, hey, you know what, this guy stayed within who he is, and he didn't go extreme highs or extreme lows, and well, you know what? When the offense wasn't clicking, he just kept grinding it out. And I think you're going to see more of that because he is a really fast learner. He is a great athlete, and great days are ahead. And I've said this many times in the last 3 hours on the show when we started. There is no question in my mind Caleb Williams is going to be a superstar. None whatsoever. I feel so confident about him and where he is headed in his career. He is going to be and could be the face of this not only franchise, but of this city in sports. That's what I think of Caleb Williams.
Right. What about that screen pass, Chuck?
Well, again, yeah, that's something they need to work on. I agree with you there. Good point. Thank
Never
you.
And
enjoy Alabama. Good luck to the okay. Crimson Tide. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. We touched on this about Alabama earlier, you know, because Nick Saban walks out. They named the field in Tuscaloosa after him, right? And so, like, they had him walk through the tunnel by himself, and, like, he got an ovation, and understandably so. He could be and probably is the greatest college football coach in the history of the sport, especially this generation. Although, you know, when you start talking about Alabama, in my generation, it was Paul Bear Bryant. And in this generation, it's Nick Saban. But there was a stretch where Alabama was really, really bad. In fact, they were mediocre, and they were going through a lot of coaches, and nobody could get it done. I think Gene Stallings won a national championship with Alabama, but for the most part, they could not get it done. So, you know, it was fantastic to see that this weekend with Nick Saban. All right, let's go to Nicole. Nicole is joining us in just a moment. We're going to take a break, and then we'll go to Nicole on 670 The Score.